Devotees, they love to to think about Krishna. They love to serve Krishna. And they love to talk about Krishna and hear talks about Krishna. Actually, this is their life and soul. And really, they know nothing else other than Krishna. And they see nothing else, no material things, of having any real value independent of Krishna. This is how the pure devotees feel. This is how they think. And particularly, this is how Srimati Radharani thinks, how she feels. Here, Lord Krishna is making the point that the pure devotees, they like to talk about Krishna, they like to hear other devotees talk about Krishna. And just 24 hours a day, even when Uddhava visited Vrindavan, Lord Krishna had been staying there in Vrindavan for some 10 or 11 years or so. And then, by the transcendental plan, the transcendental arrangement, Lord Krishna left Vrindavan and he went to Mathura. As far as they were concerned, though, he could have gone anywhere. He left Vrindavan. And now he was engaged in Mathura. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Srimati Radharani, they are left there in Vrindavan, feeling separation from the Lord. Of course, we have all felt separation from someone in the past. We've all lost the company of someone who was close to us, I'm sure. Maybe someone died, perhaps. Or someone just went somewhere else. They went to Johannesburg to earn more money. And so we lost their association. And when it's someone who's close to us, then we feel that. But how does it feel to lose the association of God when you have a personal relationship with Him? What is it like to have a personal relationship with God, with Krishna? He is the complete person. Actually, he is so complete, it is beyond our conception altogether. He is the all-attractive person. He has all attractive qualities in full. Each one of us has an eternal relationship with Krishna. So, if one is situated in that relationship, and then somehow Krishna goes, we lose his association, then that feeling of separation, that far, far eclipses any feelings of separation that we have had when we have lost the company of some other ordinary person, some little person like us, who has many faults and many problems and shortcomings. So we feel that, but when someone who is so close to Krishna loses his association, well, Lord Chaitanya says, in the mood of Srimati Radharani, Lord Chaitanya says that yugaitam mameshena chakshusha pravishayitam shunyaitam jagat sarvam govinda virahena me. When I am separated from you, Govinda, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then yugaita nameshena, a yuga, long time. In this context, Srila Prabhupada translates it as 12 years or more. So it could be a lot more. But 12 years. 12 years or more. Nimeshena. A fraction of a second feels like that. A fraction of a second separation from such a dear person, whose association, whose relationship with us is so deep and so unlimitedly sweet. When we lose that, then fraction of a second, Lord Chaitanya says, in the Buddha Radharani, it feels like years, feels like forever. It feels like that. So those inhabitants of Vrindavan, when Krishna left, some of them would just sit there looking down the road, just waiting for when Krishna would come, without blinking, and just sit there indefinitely. Just looking. Krishna's coming back soon. Just waiting for Krishna to come. So those inhabitants of Vrindavan, losing the association of Krishna, it was such an experience. And Uddhava came and he met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Particularly he met the gopis. That is described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And he saw the symptoms in them. We were saying, Krishna was saying, the devotees love to talk about him, about Krishna. And this is particularly Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So Uddhava came with a message for them from Krishna. And as he was discussing with them, they were saying certain things about Krishna, like, well, he left us. We didn't mean that much to him. So he left us. He went to Mathura. He is associating with the sophisticated city people in Mathura now. Particularly the sophisticated city ladies. So what does he need us village girls for? He's got these big time sophisticated slick ladies. Oh, very fancy, debonair, dashing, and just, what does he need us for? So he doesn't need us, so we don't need him. Buddha heard them discussing like this. He doesn't need us, so why should we need him? We don't need him. So let's stop talking about Krishna. And one other gopi said, you're right. We should stop talking about how Krishna danced with us. And another gopi said, you're right. We have to stop talking about how Krishna talked with us. And another one said, you're right. We must stop talking about how Krishna garlanded us. And another one said, yes, we must stop talking about Krishna in some other way. In other words, they were just talking about Krishna. They couldn't stop talking about Krishna. Even though they were saying, we have to stop talking about Krishna, they couldn't stop talking about Krishna. Because Because when one develops a personal relationship like that with the Lord, it is the most just captivating thing. It far exceeds. There's just no comparison between that sort of relationship and a relationship with some ordinary person, even the nicest, most attractive ordinary person. If you have a relationship with Shah Rukh Khan, then compared with having a relationship with Krishna, Shah Rukh Khan, he's not even just some sort of bumpkin. Some sort of doofus. Some sort of morgue. He's just nobody. Really. So, and amongst all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the most captivated by Krishna. Her relationship is the deepest of all the devotees, because she loves Krishna the most. And Uddhava witnessed that. Uddhava spoke Krishna's message to the gopis. So he read the message, and then, okay, what now? Then he saw Srimati Radharani, having heard that message of affection and deep, pure, spiritual love from Krishna to the gopis, and particularly to her, to Radharani. When Radharani heard that, she actually became a little maddened by it. And there was a bumblebee buzzing around. Just buzzing, buzzing, as bumblebees do. He had no particular mission other than his bumblebee mission. But somehow Radharani, in that madness, just thinking of Krishna so strongly and so deeply with every little bit of her being, Srimati Radharani, seeing that bumblebee, she thought, this is a messenger from Krishna. It was not really, it was just your typical bumblebee. But she thought like that because of the depth of her love for the Lord. Because those inhabitants of Vrindavan, particularly the gopis, and particularly Srimati Radharani, for example, because they're so absorbed in thinking of Krishna and remembering him and desiring to see him, sometimes they would see a tamal tree. Tamal tree, they say, is more or less the same color as Krishna. And you know what? We have a few at the back there. If you want to see, get some idea what Krishna looks like a bit. But they would see a tamal tree. It would, because of the color, remind them of Krishna. And sometimes Radharani would embrace the tamal tree. Oh, Krishna! And then she would think, oh, what happened to Krishna? His body is so hard. And then she realized, oh, it's just a tree. And sometimes she would see a monsoon cloud, fresh, new monsoon cloud, blackish blue color, very much like Krishna. And then she would think, oh, it's Krishna, like this. Sometimes they would act out the pastimes of Krishna. simultaneously. So it was very amazing, actually. This, you could say, obsession in the nice sense of the term, an obsession with Krishna and only Krishna. So she saw this bumblebee and she thought, it's a messenger from Krishna. So she started, because they're in that mood, why do we need Krishna? He doesn't need us. Of course we don't need him. She was a little bit in that mood. So Radharani started chastising the bumblebee. Look at you, you rascal. You've come here on behalf of your rascal master, Krishna. And actually you're just like him, because as he would go from one girl to another and enjoy the first girl till he enjoyed her as much as he could, and then just leave her, just dump her, and go on to the next one, and enjoy her, and then do the same thing and go to the next one. Just as your rascal master, Krishna, would do that while he was here, you do that with the flowers. You go to one flower, you take all the nectar, all the pollen, all the richness from inside the flower, and when you've finished, you just leave the flower. You don't even say thank you. Just go to the next flower and take all the pollen from there. So in that mood, she said to the bumblebee, you're just like your master. You are the unreliable servant of an unreliable master. Take that. Then that bumblebee, doing his bumblebee thing, he just buzzed away around the corner, just like that he was gone. And suddenly, Uddhava, watching, saw that Srimati Radharani's mood suddenly changed completely 180 degrees. Oh no! He's gone back to Krishna. He's going to tell Krishna what I said. And Krishna will become angry with me. Oh no! Because actually she is totally devoted to Krishna. And it's just in that mood of transcendental madness she spoke like that. So she's getting really, really mad. And then some seconds later, what should happen? That bumblebee came buzzing back. And now Radharani, her mood had changed completely. I have to say the right things now. So she said to the bumblebee, oh my dear bumblebee, look at you. You are so beautiful. Actually, you are the same sort of, you could say, color scheme as your dear Lord Krishna. You have black parts, like his skin was black, but you also have yellow parts, like he would wear a yellow, golden-colored dhoti. You're just like your beautiful Lord. And you are humming so sweetly, just like he would play the flute. Your humming is so nice. You are just like your wonderful master, Lord Krishna. So Uddhava saw this, and he couldn't believe it. He couldn't believe it. How Srimati Radharani is so totally preoccupied with Krishna. Whatever she sees, she only sees in relation to Krishna, completely. And whatever she says, whatever she thinks, It's only to do with Krishna. And Uddhava, being completely struck to the core of his heart with this whole experience, witnessing the characteristics, the impeccable devotion of Srimati Radharani, as he returned to Mathura, just becoming more and more just absorbed in thinking about these things, then Uddhava, when he reached Govardhan Hill, the northern end of Govardhan Hill, just like Kusum Sarova is now, where Uddhava Kund is now, he stopped. He was just stunned. And he prayed, Srimati Radharani is so glorious. I want to take birth here in Vrindavan so I can have her association. Because what is that? There's nothing like it at all. And then Uddhava thought, actually, you know, who am I? Who am I to think that I could take birth in Vrindavan and associate with Radharani? Who am I? Then he thought, well, actually, even though I'm a very lowly person, well, maybe I can take some lowly position in Vrindavan. Maybe I can become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Or some little shrub, some little clump of grass. And maybe Radharani will come and step on me. And some of the dust from her lotus foot will then come on my head, and oh, that will be the perfection of my life. And then Radharani thought, if, you know, well, that's pretty elevated. Some grass in Vrindavan, that's elevated. Maybe I could take birth as some grass just outside Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, oh, that's very high. But maybe just outside. So as Radharani and the gopis walk by somewhere, they may kick up some dust, and the breeze may carry that dust, and it may land on my head. That would just be the topmost for me. I remember many years ago, one devotee asked me, he said, when here in Durban, when a northeasterly breeze is blowing from the northeast, coming out of the northeast, well, northeast, what is that? That is the direction of Vrindavan. So he asked the question, do you think any of the dust from Vrindavan, if there's a strong wind, maybe if it gets carried here to there, that's perhaps a little optimistic. But Uddhava was thinking, let me take birth just as some grass. I would be so fortunate. Outside Vrindavan, maybe some dust will find its way to me. So tomorrow is that great day. Sri Radha Ashtami Mahotsava. The day we get to focus our attention. Of course, every day we should do that, and every day we can. But tomorrow, everything is just so conducive. Everything is so conducive for focusing our minds, our thoughts, our words, our activities, just transcendentally feasting on all different aspects of Srimati Radharani. Radha Katha, some Radha Bhajan, seeing Srimati Radharani. It's so conducive. She's always available because she is the mother of devotion. In that sense, she is the mother of all of us. So she's always accessible, but tomorrow she's more accessible. So we have this, you know, notification. It is coming tomorrow. Let us just gear up. Get started focusing our minds on the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani even right now. And tomorrow, just have the most ecstatic Radhastami of all time. Srimati Radharani ki
jai.
So now we will ask His Holiness Deva Rita Maharaj to enlighten us.
I shall also speak on a verse from Bhagavad Gita that refers to Krishna's dearest consort, Srimati Radharani. This ninth chapter, the most confidential knowledge, text 13. Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita. Pajant yananya manaso gyatva bhutan avyayam. O Sanapritta, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. We'll just read a little from Srila Prabhupada's purport. One can become free from the control of material nature as soon as he surrenders his soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the preliminary formula. Being marginal potency, as soon as the living entity is free from the control of material nature, he is put under the guidance of the spiritual nature. The guidance of the spiritual nature is called Daivi Prakriti, divine nature. When one is promoted in that way, by surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one attains to the stage of great soul, Mahatma. Daivim Prakritim Ashrita. The great souls, they are under the protection of the divine nature, Daivim Prakriti. At its deepest level, this verse refers to Srimati Radharani. Daivi Prakriti means Krishna's internal potency. And the most concentrated essence of Krishna's internal potency is Srimati Radharani. To approach this subject matter of Krishna's most confidential associate requires the guidance and blessings of the Parampara. It is so easy to misunderstand Krishna's loving affairs. How is it that we have any insight at all? It's because we are hearing about Krishna we are hearing about Srimati Radharani through Parampara. Otherwise, we would be totally bewildered. Who is Krishna? Krishna is some Hindu forest love god. Who is Srimati Radharani? She is some regular girl who somehow or other associates with this forest love god. On the one hand, Krishna's loving affairs with Srimati Radharani resemble human affairs, and therefore we get some kind of entrance. Krishna has done that. He has explained that he'll come to this world and display loving pastimes that you'll never see in Vaikuntha. And he'll display loving pastimes that even amaze himself. So he gathers his confidential associates, and they come and display the Bhoma Vrindavan Leela. Krishna makes them look human-like to attract the attention of the conditioned souls. At the same time, as we explained, these human-like leelas are pastimes that amaze even the residents of Vaikuntha. They don't see such. And Krishna himself says, I'm amazed. Even the supremely opulent Lord Narayan of Vaikuntha. His opulence can't compare to what goes on in the groves of Vrindavan. Once Srivas Thakur and other associates of Lord Chaitanya, during the Hara Panchami festival in Jagannath Puri, they began discussing the glories of Lakshmi Devi. Especially Srivas began to exclaim with great pride, just see my goddess of fortune. Just see how opulent she is. Just see the royal paraphernalia. Just see her pride. Isn't this so great? And then Srivas would comment to Srup Damodar, what is all this talk about Vrindavan? There's only some flowers there, some peacock feathers. Lord Chaitanya intervened on Sri Damodar's behalf and told Srivas, why are you saying these things to Sri Damodar? Sri Damodar is a pure devotee of Vrindavan. And you're just overwhelmed by Narada Swabhav, because you're actually Narada Muni. You're a Vaikuntha man. Srup Damodar, he is Goloka Vrindavan. Srup Damodar explained, what do you mean, all this talk that Vrindavan just has some boiled milk, some grass, some peacock feathers, Chintamani Prakarasana Sukalpa Viksha. The ground is made of touchstone, Chintamani. The trees are Kalpataru, desire trees. Every word is song, every step is dance. By the time they finished this dialogue, everyone was overwhelmed by ecstasy. Srivas Thakur included, began just dance like a madman, slapping his armpits and making funny sounds. To understand Srimati Radharani, the crest jewel of Krishna's intimate lilas, requires the blessings of the parampara. Just that we have some insight is because we're hearing about Radha Krishna through parampara. Otherwise, as I said, we'd be totally bewildered. Who is that girl with Krishna? I've had newcomers tell me. In fact, where was I? I think I was in Australia, and one young lady from Japan described her first experience walking into the temple and seeing the Radha Krishna deities. The first thing she thought, she told me, was, "That boy looks so beautiful, but who's that girl with him?" Get her out of there! She actually told me. We should not take for granted even the small insight we have into Radha Krishna Leela. We should know that that small insight is the product of hearing from authorized sources and engaging in devotional service. Even as a beginner, we've taken shelter of diving for Greek. Devotional service is the internal potency of the Lord, and all devotional service is under the protection of Srimati Radharani. When Srila Prabhupada was on his way to the USA on the Jaladuta, he wrote a poem explaining the transcendental reality. "I say to you, O brothers, you will not obtain your good fortune until Srimati Radharani is pleased with you." So that is our goal. If we can capture Srimati Radharani's attention, she'll recommend us to Krishna. Although she's Krishna's dearest devotee, she'll recommend us. "Krishna, this devotee is better than me." Let us consider Srimati Radharani's situation. That situation is especially made clear by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sometimes devotees ask, "What is in the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" What's there is very clear. The emotions of Srimati Radharani are the heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radha Krishna means the one has become two. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu means the two have become one. The way that Krishna's internal potency works is that Krishna becomes forgetful of his own identity as the Supreme and his dearest consorts forget. They can't see that Krishna is the Supreme. both parties, Krishna and his beloved consorts, headed by Srimati Radharani, they simply become absorbed in romantic love, parakya rasa, for each other. Adventurous love, indeed. I was reading today in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Srila Prabhupada explains the essence of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs with Krishna is free love. The most abominable thing in the material world is the highest, most confidential thing in the spiritual world. Free loving affairs, unbound, unbinded by any other consideration. So Krishna's internal potency creates the adventure, creates the all the props, all the episodes. First of all, there is the position of Srimati Radharani. How she is the prime reciprocator of love for Krishna. That position has glories that are most confidential, most astounding, and most sweet. Then there is the taste of Krishna's qualities. Taste means who's doing the tasting. It is Srimati Radharani. She, from her position as lover of Krishna, is tasting Krishna. And then she's feeling bliss within herself in loving Krishna. These three things Lord Chaitanya came to understand. Because Krishna can't understand these three factors by being Krishna. There are some things, apparently, that Krishna can't understand. But then he adopts the methodology to understand. And the most inconceivable things for Krishna to understand are not anything about the material world, not anything about Vaikuntha, not even anything about the topmost portion of the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan. What is most inconceivable to Krishna is how Srimati Radharani loves him. What does it feel like to be a Krishna lover? What is it? What's the happiness that a Krishna lover experiences? And what taste the Krishna lover experiences? How do we arrange our life to take shelter of Daivi Prakriti? Mahatmanas tumam parta Daivi Prakriti Mashruta. How do we take shelter? That is our process of devotional service. The journey begins with a single step. And as soon as a budding devotee takes up shelter in the process of devotional service under the guidance of the parampara, Krishna immediately pays attention. We may not realize that. Just like a little baby may not realize all the things the parents are doing to take care of that child. But as the child, as the baby matures, he or she starts to understand all the sacrifices the parents are making. So from the very beginning of our devotional career, Krishna is taking notice. But Krishna is the most expert in nurturing devotees. He knows how to prepare us for taking full shelter of his internal potency. And Srimati Radharani is the most concentrated essence of that internal potency. She is uniquely qualified for serving Krishna. This unique qualification in serving Krishna is what creates all the pleasure in Vrindavan. Unique service qualifications that bewilder even Krishna's mind. His Holiness Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj was speaking about a little about separation from Krishna. I think not tonight, but tomorrow I may speak a little bit about Purvarag, anticipation of meeting with Krishna. How all the young girls in Vrindavan at a certain time in their budding youth go through dramatic changes. It starts to happen as Krishna emerges from his infancy phase, and he goes into his middle phase between the ages of 5 and 10. Actually, there's no question of time in terms of Krishna's feelings for Radharani and Radharani's feelings for Krishna. Those feelings are eternal, but the way the leelas manifest is that those eternal feelings come out at a certain age. Although they're always there. And all of Vrindavan takes on a completely different atmosphere in anticipation of Radha and Krishna's meetings. Separation can be understood by a beautiful example Srila Prabhupada gave. Now the sun has gone. So what are you feeling? You look out, you see darkness. There's a particular bhava you should recognize in yourself. Bhava, emotional intensity. There's spiritual bhavas, there are material bhavas. You know about the mituni bhava. There's Ishwar bhava. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, the Kshatriyas have the controlling bhava or emotional makeup. There are always emotional states for sentient beings. So actually, when you look out through the windows and see darkness, whether you know it or not, you are feeling the bhava of separation from the sun. You're not just seeing darkness, you are feeling the absence of the sun. So when Krishna apparently is gone away, you are feeling a particular existential situation known as separation from Krishna. It's not simply that Krishna is gone. There's a feeling that Krishna is gone. And Krishna knows how to make that feeling so intense that he's actually present more when he's apparently gone. This is the mystery of Vrindavan. A mystery so great that Krishna wanted to experience it. What is it that my devotees are feeling? How did the gopis experience my absence? Especially, how did Srimati Radharani experience my absence from Vrindavan? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly took up that same mood as Swami Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is describing, Uddhava observing the gopis in Vrindavan, and particularly the Brahmara Gita, hearing the song of Srimati Radharani sung to the bumblebee, madness of separation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu particularly came to taste that emotional state of Srimati Radharani, demonstrating the peak of separation from Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya's associates would augment that mood. That was particularly the devotional service of Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar. They would recite appropriate verses. They would sing appropriate songs to augment that mood Lord Chaitanya was demonstrating as he tasted from the position of a lover of Krishna. He tasted what Srimati Radharani was experiencing during Uddhava's visit to Vrindavan, what Uddhava observed. Our whole training process in bhakti is about how to take more and more shelter of the internal potency. Whether we're chanting our japa, what is our mood in chanting our japa? It's not how quickly can I get these rounds out of the way. When we chant japa, our mood is, as Srila Prabhupada explained, here is Radha, here is Krishna. Our eagerness to engage in devotional service, our desire to become absorbed in devotional service, these are our steps on the path to full immersion in Krishna's internal potency. And will be helped. The internal potency is nourishing, enriching it. It helps because the essence of the internal potency is the personality of Srimati Radharani. She's helping. The goal is progressively and slowly, gradually achieved. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada announced, I say to you, O devotees, you will not obtain your good fortune until Srimati Radharani is pleased upon you. So he's not making a statement about something impossible. As the representative of the Lord's internal potency, Srila Prabhupada was inviting us all. This is the direction to go in. Tomorrow, anticipating and meeting Krishna. The hubbub, the commotion is going on in Vrindavan because the gopis, headed by Srimati Radharani, were quote-unquote becoming of age in terms of realizing something about Krishna. But for tonight, I'd like to leave you with thoughts about Krishna's bewilderment. How is it that Srimati Radharani loves me so much? What is it in me that she's tasting? What's it like to be her, to be in her position? What's the bliss, the happiness that she's feeling? These are the greatest riddles in all of existence. Thank you very much.
Swami Maharaj Ki. Srila Bhakti Chaitanya Swami Maharaj Ki. Thank you, Maharaj, for the wonderful classes. Thank you for being so patient. We finished a little late, but prasadam will now be served. And in regard to the class, to be continued.